Good morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And if you're using a chair Bible, page 854. Help you out there. Get there. But James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So a while back, I'm getting ready to come over to the office, and I'm watching Fox News, and they featured a story about a jewelry store in Michigan that has shown some incredible wisdom when it comes to deterring theft. I mean, it's so much wisdom. I mean, they must have got it from the right place. And you see, they have wisely placed live scorpions in their display cases where their diamonds are kept. And let me tell you, it probably is a, if I could say this, a wise thief not to break in there and get it, you know, if a thief can be wise. But, I mean, have you ever been stung by a scorpion? It doesn't feel good. You know, life is filled with situations that demand wisdom. Wisdom on how to raise your children. Wisdom on handling a tough problem at work. Wisdom in confronting a friend who is making bad choices. And today, using as the backdrop the story of Daniel, I'd like for us to talk about having incomparable wisdom. Everyone, go to Daniel chapter 1. That's page 625. And let's do a recap of last week. See, in this chapter, we learn that the nation of Judah had been invaded by the Babylonians, and they had taken exiles back with them to Babylon. I mean, Daniel and his three of his friends are chosen and placed in a three-year training program so they can eventually serve the king as advisors. But part of their training meant they would have to eat Babylonian food that was unclean. Daniel resolved in his heart not to defile himself and showed incredible integrity. Now look at the end of chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, and how they were rewarded. It says, "The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. Now, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom." Notice the word wisdom in verse 20 there. In the Hebrew language, it is roughly pronounced chokmah. Chokmah. So say that with me. Chokmah. See, the expository's Bible commentary says this about the word chokmah. See, in Hebrew, it combines the ideal of knowledge arrived at through accurate discernment and the ability or skill to apply that knowledge effectively to the task to be done or the decision to be made. In other words, wisdom is the application of knowledge. But here is something else that the Hebrew people understood about chokmah. See, this kind of wisdom was always related to God as the creator, as the designer, as the governor of life. So chokmah focuses on the moral side of applying what we know about God to what we do in life. But contrast that with the way the classical Greek philosophers understood wisdom. See, in the Greek, the word wisdom is sophia. But to the Greek philosophers, sophia was all about satisfying intellectual curiosity. I mean, it was all about gaining personal success and fulfillment in life. I mean, have you ever met a person that when there seems to be some kind of moral crisis or difficulty, that they have, that this incredibly godly wisdom that is both moral and practical that they have? I mean, I remember a couple of people from several years ago who displayed that kind of chokmah. I mean, Jerry, he was an elder while I was still a youth minister, and we would be in a meeting where everyone was discussing something back and forth, and it might even get kind of heated. And after a while, there might be a lull in the conversation, and then Jerry, he would speak. And he would address the situation in a very moral, biblical, godly, but practical manner. I mean, there's Vernon James. He was an elder where I started preaching up north. And we had a situation where someone in the church got all upset about a song that we were singing that said we would be dancing in heaven. I mean, they weren't going to be dancing in heaven. And the discussion's getting kind of interested, and I'm upset, and I'm thinking, man, can't people just find something better to complain about? You know, and Vernon, he's just sitting there, and he's flipping through his Bible. Pretty soon, he says, fellas, the way I see it, according to the Bible, we're going to dance in heaven. I mean, he closed his Bible, and that was pretty much the end of the discussion. See, what I want us to look at for the next couple of minutes is how Daniel displayed incomparable wisdom, incomparable chokmah in the midst of a very difficult situation. See, for the sake of time, let me just paraphrase the first part of chapter 2 here. See, King Nebuchadnezzar, he has a really bad dream and he can't sleep. So he gathers all the magicians, the sorcerers, the astrologers, and he tells them, hey, I've had a horrible dream, and I want you guys to tell me what it is and what it means. So all the astrologers are like, okay, well, King, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means. And Nebuchadnezzar, he says, no, if you guys are really what you say that you are, then you will first tell me what I dreamed and then tell me what it means. In fact, if you can't do this, I'm going to have to rip you guys into pieces and tear your houses down. But on the other hand, if you tell me what it is and what it means, I'm going to buy you all brand new sports cars. Now, it really didn't say that, but sounds cool, don't it? Well, again, all these sages, they're like, well, hold on a minute there, King. You tell us a dream and we will interpret it. And Nebuchadnezzar says, you guys are just stalling. You're just stalling for time. If you can't do this, you are dead men. Now I want you to drop down to verse 10 and see what they say to the king. It says, the astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magicians or enchanters or astrologers. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. You know, I love that place in the New Testament where the disciple, you know, disciple named John, he talks about how God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I mean, the New Living Translation says this, John 1:14 says, so the word Jesus became human and lived here on earth among us. I mean, you want to talk about the embodiment of wisdom, it is in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you don't take away anything else today, please know that all the wisdom we will ever need can be found in Jesus Christ. Well, back to the story. When these astrologers, they say, hey, King, what you're asking cannot be done. The king goes nuclear and he orders every wise man in Babylon to be executed. And Daniel and his three young friends, they're among the condemned. And Daniel, he's going to have to step up. I mean, so where do you need the wisdom of God? Maybe it's a family situation. Your parents are getting to the age where they really can't take care of themselves, and you're having to make decisions. I mean, I was talking with someone in our church just the other day who is facing this. Or maybe it involves your spouse or your kids or a sibling, and you haven't got a clue as to what your next step should be, and it's driving you crazy. Or maybe you have a managerial situation at work with an employee or with your boss, and you keep rehearsing over and over in your mind what you need to do. One minute you want to tell them off, the next you just want to pretend that it isn't happening. Or maybe you have a friend who seems as far from God as a person can be, and you know you want to say something to them about Jesus, but man, what do you say? What do I say? Or maybe the wisdom you need is with a personal struggle with sin. How do I break this horrible habit? How do I turn my focus to God? How do I avoid the pressure to fit in? You know, even some of you know my situation that we went in through this year. We've had some struggles, and we had some life-changing moments that happened to my family. And you have to seek some wisdom and know what to do. And I want to thank you guys for some time that I was able to, Amy and I were able to go to Colorado and just to get away from things and just to pray and seek wisdom from God and just to let him talk to us, you know, things and know where to seek wisdom. And you know, Life Choices, that's an organization. It's a pregnancy crisis center, and they just have so much wisdom of things like this going on in life and what they do. Great ministry. Matter of fact, I went to a Life Choices banquet Thursday night, and I was able to listen to a great speaker. I encourage you, Google him. His name's Aaron Robles. He's unstoppable. What? Anthony. Not. What did I say? Anthony Robles. Unstoppable. He's a national champion wrestler, and some of you might already know him. Great testimony, born with one leg, but come through some unstoppable moments in his life, and now he has a great testimony and things, but encourage you that. But another thing we learned at Life Choices, they are gearing up to really touch not only our area, our community of Missouri and Kansas and areas with helping women and people in situations. They rolled out a new ministry. They're gonna have a mobile medical center. I mean, got this van decked out. Gonna have ultrasounds. Gonna have all kinds of testings and blood work and different things they can do. They're gonna go to places that people don't come to them, just brick and mortar, but they're going to give the wisdom and go to the casinos. They're going to go, and believe it or not, they're going to go to the truck stops. And what a great ministry. I just encourage you to listen about them and the wisdom they have. If you need more information, I picked up some information on them as well. But allow me to go back to that Hebrew word, chokmah. Let me go back to that for a minute. See, the purpose of wisdom is not primarily for our own personal success, but for how it will glorify God. And I'm just going to say this. I'm just a little tired of hearing television preachers talk about the ideal of personal success and personal fulfillment. I mean, as if Christianity is centered around us and that God's main concern is for our happiness. Shouldn't we be more concerned about what makes God happy? See, the ultimate goal of having godly wisdom is to glorify God and not for our personal comfort or our gain or our success or even our wealth. Now, some of those things may follow, but that's not the primary target. See, when God told Solomon that he would give him anything he wanted as king of Israel, Solomon only asked for one thing, and that was wisdom, chokmah. But because of Solomon's humility, God threw in a whole lot more. But that was not Solomon's main goal. So if we find ourselves in situations desperately needing the wisdom of God, what do we do? Now, taking the next seven verses, we can go to school on Daniel here. There is an outline in your bulletin. Jot these things down. First of all, keep a level head. You know, look in your Bible at verse 14 through 16, and let's see what Daniel does. It says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death these wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Now, Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Now, notice that Daniel spoke with wisdom and tact. Daniel kept a level head in this situation. You know, a while back I read an article about Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani, he was asked how he handled that crisis of 9/11 with such a level head. And he described how when he was very young, his father used to tell him, if you are ever in an emergency, if you are ever in a fire, or ever and everyone gets very excited, very emotional, then you become the calmest person in the room. See, godly wisdom does not fly off the handle and react before all the facts are in. See, parents, if you want to have wisdom with your kids, begin by keeping a level head. And I don't know, I know that's difficult to do. But God is glorified much more when we use wisdom with tact. A second step towards godly wisdom is to rely totally on God. Look at verse 17. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, they didn't sit down and have a planning meeting. They didn't come up with a 5-point strategic plan. They didn't consult with any people. They pleaded with God. You know, a few years ago, Warren Buffett, he was like one of the richest men in the world. I mean, he had an estimated worth of about $44 billion. I mean, Buffett is considered one of the greatest investors of our day. You know, in June of 2005, Buffett, he decided to help raise money for one of his charitable foundations by offering an online auction on eBay for someone to have lunch with him. I mean, the winning bid came in at $351,000. I mean, whose wisdom do we value most? Hey, if you have found yourself in a situation where you are needing wisdom, get your Christian friends to be praying. I mean, pleading with God to supply the answer. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And finally, a third step towards godly wisdom is humbly give God the credit. One more time, let's go back to chapter 2, verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. do you see what's happening here? Daniel gives credit where credit is due. I mean, it's like that story of the cowboy who was riding along one day and he comes upon this Indian who's lying flat on the ground with his ear pressed to the earth, and the Indian says, "Wait, wagon 2 miles west, two horses pulling, one black, one gray, four people in the wagon, man in red flannel shirt, wife, two kids." I mean, the cowboy was like, "Wow, that's amazing. You can tell all of that just by listening to the ground." The Indian says, "No, they ran over me 30 minutes ago. Go get them." Well, let me ask you this. When you seem to have the right words to say in a tough moment, who do you give credit to? I mean, when you get praised for saving the company thousands of dollars or making the company thousands of dollars because of that wise decision, who gets the credit? When you're sitting in a small group or a Bible study and something hits you and you share it with the rest of the group and you can tell that something really clicks with them, what do you do with the kudos and accolades? See, godly wisdom always stays calm, always rely on God, and always give God the credit. Let me tell you this quick story, then we're going to pray and we're going to get out of here. Rick Stedman, he is the pastor of Venture Christian Church near Sacramento, California. Now, back in the early 90s, when their church was about a year old, they decided to purchase some property. Now, Rick says that they found a few acres in an industrial zone that had some power lines running across it, and the price was right, so they began raising the money to buy it. I mean, they figured they could put parking under the power lines. But then the city planners, they came to them and they called an emergency zoning meeting. The city decided that they didn't want a school or a church in that industrial zone. So Rick said that the church hired an attorney and their engineers met. Then the big city council meeting came and they presented their case. They felt like they had a solid case, but in the end the council voted 5-0 against the church. Rick said he was just sitting there crushed, but he said, "I knew in my spirit that God wanted me to say something before that meeting was over." So he leaned over to their attorney and asked if after they were done with the vote, before they took recess, would he have a chance to speak? And the attorney said, "No." So Rick said, "Well, would they stop me if I stood up to speak?" He said the attorney got a concerned look in his eyes and said, "Probably not, but what are you going to say?" Rick said, I have no idea, but I'm praying." And he said, "You know that scripture where Jesus says that God will give you wisdom when you stand before governors and councils?" Well, he said, I prayed, "Lord, if the scripture ever applied, it's now. Please inspire me." And he jumped to his feet and he said, "Please, there is just something I gotta say before everyone leaves." The city council said, "Okay, what?" And Rick said he was praying, he's waiting for inspiration, and inspiration isn't coming, so he thinks, "Okay, I gotta stall. So I'll give God a little more time and thank everybody." So he said he thanked the mayor for the time that's they spent with him. He knew he was a busy man, and he graciously gave them all that time. Still, there was no inspiration. Rick said he thanked each of the city council members by name. Still, no inspiration. He thanked the city attorney, the city manager, and he thanked the head planner. But he said, "When I thanked the head planner, I saw that she teared up just a little bit." He said, "I knew God was doing something, but I had just run out of people to thank." And then Rick said, "That's all I have to say. You know, we're a new church in town, and we're going to work hard with you to make this wonderful place to live, and we look forward to working with you in the future." And then he went to sit down. But then the mayor said, "Hey, don't sit down." So Rick jumped back up, and the mayor said some words that Rick said he will never forget. "We want your church in our town. We have never met a church like yours before. How can we help you find and build a church home? Rick says, I don't know. You just passed a law that says we can't build on the property that we own. And the mayor said this, would you consider a swap? Rick said, yes, but it would have to be the same price because we're a small church. Then that's when the inspiration, he said, came to him. And it would have to have freeway access. It'd have the same visibility, same size, and a different zoning. And the mayor said, well, that's fine. We'll work with you. And that night, the city set up a subcommittee that eventually helped the church find a 41-acre site that overlooks the city. Now, Adventure Christian Church now runs close to 4,000 people in their weekend services. See, when you find yourself between Iraq and a hard place, lean on the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I come to you now, hearing your words that you want to tell us through Daniel, that we need your wisdom. We need to seek you for guidance and direction. And Father, we know that we can't do things on our own. We really do not have the ability to do that. But yet, you have the wisdom to give us to make sure we are following you and doing your will and what you will do. So I pray right now, Father, not only as individuals, but as a congregation, as your followers, Father, that we seek you for that wisdom. We plead, we pray, we agonize with you to give us your word. So, Father, I pray right now that as we carry on our lives, you will use us to make a difference. You know, Father, it's just like the video that we saw that says, will you take care of the hungry? Will you take care of those who are thirsty? Why do you let these things happen? Why don't you do something about it? Well, Father, we know. You created us, so give us that wisdom to do that. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. It's all about Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. The praise team is back up here, and we're going to sing a song of decision. If you have a decision to make today, I pray that you make it. And please stand and sing with us and come. As we come to a time of prayer and prayer requests to the Lord, on the back of your bulletin, there's a list that we have those on our prayer list that we need to continue to pray for. And one that one needs to add is Robbie Connolly. Many of you may know him and his family. He had a brain tumor and had surgery, and I must have thought they got it, but I think it's still there, having some vision problems and things, and he's going to have surgery again real soon. We just need to pray for some wisdom for the doctors and also for his family. So I want to add Robbie Connolly to the prayer list. And you also continue to pray for Terry Logan, who is home with her feet propped up and can't get around very good and everything, but yet she was with us today through FaceTime. So just so you know, we were FaceTiming the services today, so that was great. But continue to pray for that. Also, we mentioned this, but many of you know Richard and Amy Hemphill. She's a teacher at the junior high. You know, we mentioned that they lost their baby boy Tuesday, or lost their baby boy, died in the womb, and she had to deliver it, and no one had to deliver, and then buried their child. They buried him Tuesday, and he was tangled in the umbilical cord, and so we just need to pray for wisdom and strength for that family as they are going through this. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you again because we know that you are the all-knowing, all-abstaining God. You heal, you give us what we need, Father. And Father, we pray for those that are on our prayer list, Father, that have been there, and we know that you are helping them, and your will is happening, Father. But Father, we specifically pray for Robbie Connolly, Father, as he is a little boy going through this tumor, Father, and just not knowing all the outcomes of that such a young age, Father. And so we pray for guidance and wisdom and help for his family, Father, as they're dealing with this too. But Father, we specifically pray for Richard and Amy as they had to go through this pain, Father, of burying their little boy this week, Father. And I pray that you can use us, the ones that know them and are around them, that you can give us the wisdom to be able to say what needs to be said, Father. To be able to be there just to love them and put our hand around them. But most of all, Father, that you and your will be done. Father, in all things, we pray in Jesus' name. And it's in his name. Amen.